to the Poland podcast. Before I begin, I would like to thank you all for the comments you made in a podcast. And actually, I do read the comments. And please do not forget to subscribe to the Poland podcast. Now, I want to introduce my very dear friend and also a wonderful journalist, curator, Judith Benamor. And I let her introduce herself, and then we can talk more about what she's doing.
Bonjour, Pearl. So I'm a curator, I'm a journalist, I'm an art critic, I'm a traveler, I'm a mom, I'm French. What can I say? I have a column in Les Echos, which is like FT in France, for 32 years, but I'm not so old. I began very early.
10 years old.
Exactly. And I created 7 years ago a platform, a blog with a YouTube channel and Instagram and all that, dedicated to art and art market.
And everyone follows you, from museum directors to avid collectors. They all love your blog.
Exactly, I hope so. And in fact, I have
very influential
followers all over the world. The first reader are in New York, in fact, which is quite surprising. So I became global in a way. And my life is very interesting because of that.
So today, I'm taking Judith here to talk about French culture. Mm-hmm. From the first day, I know about France, even in Hong Kong, they only talk about French culture. What is French culture?
I think French culture is about not being shallow. The problem today is that in this big society, global society of consumption, people consume, and they are so shallow. But if you want to feel...
Don't you think that the word shallow is a bit pretentious? I don't mind to be shallow.
Yeah, I don't mind to be pretentious. Shallow is about being on the surface of everything. And if we want to have pleasure, if we want to blossom, we need to go in depth. And I was thinking about this question of French culture and the fact that I am working in France, even if my audience is global, is because it allows me to go in depth, to understand the artistry, for example. I like the idea of being really dedicated to contemporary art, but to understand contemporary art and how can be pertinent contemporary art, you need to know about artistry. This is not being shallow.
But also about contemporary life as well, right? Your French contemporary life.
Yes. And, you know, for a while, France was a bit an old country, but now Paris became a really international platform. And that's what's fascinating, and that's why we are lucky.
What's fascinating about you know, because we talk about French culture, is no countries in the world would just say that, you know, for France, we market French culture. And then next thing I learned is Comité Colbert. Okay, French culture, Comité Colbert. So what... I always say that now China is going through a French, you know, first China was American and now they want to be French. So what do you mean by being French then? Do you know French culture doesn't mean food? Does it mean fashion? Does it mean art? What does a French person think about French culture?
I read a book about French art history, and the guy was a specialist of 18th century art. And he began saying that, for example, the woodmaker of the King Louis XIV, 15, 16, they were all foreigners and they became French. What is interesting about France is the ability of swallowing and giving back, swallowing talents in a good way and giving back a mixture of creativity. And that's what I like. I was thinking about this French culture notion, and what's interesting is the capacity of France of attracting talent. I give you an example.
Yeah.
I thought about my schedule in the few last days. For example, I began on Friday going to Beyeler Foundation, which is in Basel,
which means
the frontier between France, Germany, and Swiss. I went there on Friday and I interviewed a Canadian photographer, artist called Jeff Wall. In the 70s, let's speak to our listener. In the 70s, he invented a special system to create a light box to make a new kind of photography, which is between painting and cinema, but a still cinema. So I interviewed this guy and it was extraordinary. We spoke about his best friend, Rodney Graham, who also lived in Vancouver and who was also a photographer, artist, etc., who died last year. And I interviewed Rodney Graham a few years ago in Dijon in a contemporary art center. So this was my experience on Friday. On Sunday, I went to Saint-Paul-de-Vence. And in Saint-Paul-de-Vence, in south of France, near Nice, there's a foundation, one of the most famous foundations in the world, is called Fondation MAG. And they have one of the best collections of modern art with Giacometti, with Miro, and many other artists. And there was a fashion show. I was invited to this fashion show organized by Jacques Mus with a young designer. In fact, he was born in the same city of South of France as me, Salon de Provence, that no one knows. And I was the only art critic invited there for the fashion show in Fondation MAG by Jacques Mus. And it was extraordinary. And there I met some young influencer, like 25, 28. We had so much fun and they were not shallow at all. They were extremely creative, not the same culture as me. And you know, they have African origin.
Yes.
And they are extraordinary. I had my best time with them and the fashion show was amazing because there was a dialogue between Giacometti's culture and his fashion show of Jacques Mus. Jacques Mus is a very talented fashion designer. I came back and on Tuesday morning, I went to interview Bijoy Jain with an architect who is having a show now at Fondation Cartier in Paris. And the Fondation Cartier, the building is designed by Jean Nouvel, the famous Pritzker Prize architect. And Bijoy Jain invented not an architecture, but a feeling. When you go there, you feel so good. He has a very special proposal. And we spoke together about Mumbai, about his childhood, with hippies, communists, doctors, philosophers all around, classical Indian dancer all around him. And so what I want to say is between Friday and Tuesday, I went to Canada, I went to Swiss, I went to Mumbai, and with Giacometti, Swiss again, and with Jacques Mus to the world, and with the young African origin influencer to Africa in a way. And all that together, all this density, all this culture, it's France. That's what's interesting about France now. And because people are open-minded and not shallow.
So you are talking about multicultural. You are saying that now France is a multicultural world.
Because the world of culture in France is like that. It's not all the world, because all the world in France, all the mind, because there's, you know, also narrow-minded people.
Yeah.
But I think culture in France, is people of culture in France are very curious. And that's what we need in life. You know, I'm doing my job
curious. But let's go back to talk about, because what is interesting is when France wants to promote themselves, they will go out to talk about the French culture. I think starting with Jacques Lang, during the Minister of Culture.
He was a big ambassador.
Yeah, he was a big ambassador. So actually, all of a sudden, the whole world is focusing in French culture. They look
really?
At it. No, they look at it, okay, because, you know, when you go to China, the French culture is all the haute couture, the food, the jewelries, right? So I think your French culture from very beginning when Jack Lang was promoting it, it was for trading, for business, rather than talking about French culture as itself.
Mm.
And now you're telling us about, you know, what is really happening here? What is the real culture here?
But well, I have to confess something. Most of the people in the culture business are starving. So it's glamorous, but in the same time, you don't make your living from this culture. But you are fed, you have some privilege, you have some power.
But isn't that in the social ladder in France, especially, is when you are in culture, when you are an artist, you are in a much higher ranking than if you are as a banker?
No, I'm not sure. It's just a parallel world where you have less money privilege, but you decide at the beginning of your life that you will not make a lot of money. Probably you will not have the most fancy shoes, and I'm very sensitive to shoes. You will not have a big house, but you will be able to blossom. I remember once my daughter, you know, when you have a kid, you dream of your kid to feel completely secure. That's your priority. And once my daughter told me, oh, don't imagine I will be a banker once. So it was very clear. Now she's a teacher of architecture, you know, in America.
Yeah.
Not in France, in America. We don't know why. But the thing is that
America pays much more.
Yes, and American university are really excellent, for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you need to decide that you will not be privileged in terms of money if you want to be really involved in culture. That's it.
But in France, in general, people doesn't look at money as the most important thing because they rather to have holidays, right?
No, not only holidays, but you know, it makes me...
You'd rather have other things.
It makes me think about something. I have a friend who is American, a very wealthy banker, and it took him a while to understand why my priority was not to make money. And slowly he understood I had some kind of power, I was going to good places, I was sophisticated without money. For him, it was very difficult to understand. That's really another state of mind. Do you want to make a priority of making money, or do you want your brain to work in a good way?
What do you think about this Americanization of culture? You know, American culture from food, from Hollywood, has infiltrated the whole world. How about France? What do you think about it?
American culture really works very, very good, very much in France too. The problem is the
McDonald's everywhere.
Exactly, that's a real problem because in America you see a lot of very fat people, overweight, and it's coming to France. For example, in America, I love yogurt, for example. If you want to buy a yogurt, you see so many additives in the yogurt in America. You can't find something plain. It's terrible. That's a real problem. And so it creates army of people who are sick and overweight, and that's really scary. I hope this will not happen in France, but we are going slowly on this way, that's for sure.
And how about beside food, what else? What else has Americanized the French culture?
You know, I think in France they have created some protection. For example, still the French cinema is powerful.
Yes, the French cinema is very powerful and it's very different way of and of direction as well.
But there's also good things about America. For example, there's some kind of pop culture, American pop culture, which is cool, I think.
American pop culture and music influence.
Exactly. And also, what can I say? Yeah, I think there's part of it.
How about Emily in Paris?
But if you are tired and you are watching TV in your bed by night, it's very cool. I feel a bit uncomfortable about the way she's dressed, which is not
French.
At all French.
Not that French at all.
I think it's very American. I don't like the notion of bad taste because there's no taste. There's just fashion. But she has a very strange way of being dressed.
That is the stylist, right? It must be. I mean, it must be because if you are in France, if you see how the French are, you don't dress like that.
No, not for sure. For sure not. But you know, for example, I was going to this cafe since I was 19. I was going to this cafe called Café de Flore.
I know.
And there's an episode at Café de Flore of Emily in Paris, so you can't go there anymore. And they all have this special hat, you know, the red beret. And all these ladies from all over the world come like, you go to a religious place in pilgrimage, with your special red hat, and they go there. They want to feel like Emily in Paris.
And so what are the impact does... But this is... How does it impact in French culture or the French... You know, Paris, because they see where Emily goes, so they went.
Yeah, exactly. No, but Emily is a privileged young lady. So they show very privileged side, you know. So I have no problem with that. In fact, she has some grace and she's very free. She has sex with everyone, as it is supposed to be like that in France, you know. But sometimes she's a bit shallow again and pretentious again. No, but I think it's a cool show. In fact, I wrote an article and I titled it "The Emily in Paris Effect in the Art Market" because.
Oh yeah, what is the effect on the art market? I love
because
that.
You know the main fair in the world, Art Basel, has decided to settle down in Paris. So everyone, all the gallery are coming to Paris. That's why.
Of course, because Paris has so much more things to do than Basel.
That's for sure.
And the food is so much better.
That's for sure, too.
And there's so much shopping to go around, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a kind of Emily Paris effect in the art market. You know, Hauser and Wirth, for example, opened recently, last October, in Paris. They have a huge place. And so it keeps on and keeps on like that. And so it becomes global. There's a danger of this globality in Paris that Paris could lose its soul, for sure.
Okay. So this is a very confusing thing because Paris wanted to be the top city. So obviously you have a lot of tourists coming in because it increased the France, you know, the tourism contribute to the GDP. But at the same time, Paris or the French wants to protect its own culture.
Yes.
So it's a compromise. So that's why we always feel that when we come to Paris, the French, the Parisian does, they do not like us. The Parisian is horrible to visitors and to the tourist. Is that reason why? You love us, but you don't like us. You love a bit of us, but you resent.
Yes, but I'm not really a good example because I'm traveling all over the
world. I know, but in general, of course, you know.
Yeah, now people are mean. You know, for example, me, I go to certain cafe and restaurant on purpose because in other places, they really treat you badly. I hate that.
Yeah.
They are rude. They are rude to anyone.
Oh, even French would say, I love it. They are rude. They're simply rude.
Extremely rude. Yeah, what can we do?
So, but this is not just the Emily in Paris syndrome, right? This was just the Emily in Paris brought attention to Paris. And then when people come there, they want to visit the same place.
Place,
but that is not really a huge impact in the French life.
An issue now because if you have so many tourists, they need to find rooms. So there's more and more Airbnb, which means to rent a house, not a house, a flat now in Paris, it's really difficult, you know. So it's very expensive. So all the not wealthy people, regular people, need to go outside of the city.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a problem. So it will make the city less authentic. Like, for example, in Venice now, you have less and less Venetian, you know?
Yes, I know.
So in Paris, it's becoming like that, like a big museum. Pearl, what is really the perception of France in Asia and above all in China now?
French culture. I think your ambassador or your consulate general or your cultural attaché in all these countries has done a fantastic job. Like in Hong Kong, you have a French May. Mm-hmm. I mean, you for 1 month, it was just promoting French culture. And then now you have a French year in China. So a lot of exchanges. China is bringing their Chinese culture here. French is doing a French culture there. And I think your government knows how to use culture to do the exchange of building friendship and all that. If you go to Japan, literally, I mean, everything they adopt. I mean, I think Japan has better Mont Blanc.
Exactly. Than the pâtisserie in Kyoto.
Yes, exactly.
Are better than in Paris.
Much better than in Paris.
No, much better.
Much better.
Pâtisserie is a serious matter.
And the roux genre is better than here. I mean, most of the food and cuisine there is better than that. I think Japan knows how to adopt it and make it better.
Mm.
I mean, this is, and if you see all these Japanese girls, their dream is to visit Paris. They will save up and come and visit Paris.
True.
Paris, but at the same time, I think Japan, I mean China as well.
China,
do you know how many Chinese coming to the haute couture show? I think now the haute couture, haute couture too is partly supported by the Chinese.
There's a lot of hipsters Chinese hipster French street in Paris.
I think France has done so much to promote the culture in fashion, design. I mean, Christian Lier is opening everywhere, right? And food.
Mm.
It's amazing.
True.
I mean, I remember at that time, long time ago, I don't know whether the Committee Colbert still do it, but Committee Colbert also do a lot of exhibition. Promoting, you know, like all the brands, Baccarat.
Comité Colbert, madame.
Yeah, Comité Colbert.
Colbert. And in fact, what is really interesting is that French people don't really realize this soft power they have. They always criticize. Culture is about debating, fighting all the time and criticizing everyone. It's horrible.
I mean, it's so nice to hear a French saying all that. If I say that, people will be attacking me. But it's true. But what are you going to do to make them realize that? France is so powerful. The French culture is the most powerful thing. Because with this soft power, you can do a lot of, you can promote French, you can promote trade, and you can do exchanges.
But it's French that they are self-destructive. You know, there's this paradox about, I think the French people don't travel enough, so they don't realize how good is life in France,
You know, the funniest thing is when you talk about people criticize or complain, is I always say that whenever I go to a French dinner with a French host hosting the dinner, everything I learn about politics is by the main course. First, appetizer people will be trying to get polite by the main course. I learned everything about the French politics during dinner because everybody will be complaining. No one is happy. I mean...
Sometimes I think, how were they able to create the Eiffel Tower? There was probably so much opposition to this project. Always when you want to change something, there's some opposition. And if you notice it, each president of the French Republic want to give something to the country. For example...
Because they want to create a legacy,
of course. Yes, Mitterrand created the pyramid at Musée du Quai.
Yes, yes.
Chirac created Musée du Quai Branly.
Yeah, Quai Branly.
And each of them tried to make something, you know. It's very interesting. So in a way, power is really linked to culture in France.
Absolutely, especially in France. You always, all the prime minister, they want to have a legacy. And the legacy is always evolved with culture. I mean, Mitterrand actually made the Minister of Culture to be the Speaker of Parliament, unheard of.
Yeah, and you know, Macron, there's something amazing about Macron. President, I want to interview you. Don't remember you said you would accept. I hope he's listening to this podcast. So Macron, when he goes in foreign countries, he meets artists. Who does that? So, for example, he went to India and he met Subodh Gupta. Ooh. He went to his studio. So I phoned to Subodh and I said, oh, what's going on? What did he say to you? He said, you know, first, all my friends came to my studio because we never have any politician meeting artists in our country.
This is how nice. This is the strongest way to tell everyone, one is culture is so important.
And so Macron makes things like that, which are very surprising. For example, there's a big place for great people of France called Le Panthéon in Paris. So it's like a big cemetery of the greatest people. And there he asked Anselm Kiefer, a German artist living in France, to create a group of fresco for inside the building. So this is...
He has chosen the right artist, actually.
But this is crazy. He chose a German artist who doesn't want to live in Germany, living in France.
I'm sorry, art is not about passport. Yeah, either you're a good artist or not a good artist.
The symbol is so strong. Is that also that you accept that your former enemy is now really your friend. But this is a vision of history. It's great, I think.
What can Asian country learn from France? I mean, many Asian countries, we need to still find who we are and what we represent. And let's talk about China, I think. I think at this very moment, China... The propaganda machine is to make people very proud of China, being very nationalistic. But I think what makes the world respect China is the ancient Chinese culture. Mm. The ancient Chinese, how they behave and how they self-culture, self-cultivation and all that. I think all that is lost. So until the time that we know how an ancient Chinese or a contemporary Chinese is. So it's hard how to even promote this, even though there were a lot of Confucius Institute, the Chinese government built.
But I remember that on the early 90s, you were collecting old furniture, old architecture.
Yeah, I love it. Yes, I love all my Shanghai Deco furniture.
You began early on to collect.
Yeah, I began early on to collect because I thought it was really the time of creativity. Because when you talk about Deco coming into China, when they don't understand, they never even seen what Art Deco is, and they use the Chinese making furniture techniques without nails, and
fascinating
to make this, and then with some Chinese motive.
But we can also speak about something very controversial, which is the loot of the Summer Palace by French.
French is one French, of them.
French
the
and England.
The allies.
This is fair to speak about it too. You know, at auction, from time to time, one sees some imperial
I think at this present artifacts. Moment, I mean, when you say about the 19th century, you know, the loot of the summer palace, the loot of the palace is not exactly... I think they rebuilt the summer. It is the summer. The loot of Summer Palace, you can see a lot of things at the Gimme Museum and on the British Museum. So if we have to go to the past, I think all these museums has to give back everything, especially the British Museum from the Egypt. Yeah. I mean, every
Gimme
single
not
country.
Not so much, I think. But
no, because remember, Britain at the time rules, British Empire rules the world. So every country, they loot.
Yeah, for
sure. I mean, if we have to go back, my God, no more British Museum.
And no more Musée du Quai Branly for African art.
Yeah.
And no more Vietnamese or Cambodian art.
No, exactly. So I don't know whether one should go back and talk about that and try to get back and get back all these treasures.
You know, now things are coming at auction too, which is another story than the museum.
But things are in the auctions. If these, I think there's a ruse that if it is stolen, you cannot be in the auction. I don't
know. No, but if it's the army who looted it, not really. But that's why some
The Chinese are buying. Many of the Chinese are buying. They give it back to the government.
Yeah, which
it's
is
a favor
nice.
To the government, which is very good.
Nice and fair.
Very good.
And it's good also for the local Chinese to be able to
be
understand
able to appreciate
how crazily beautiful it was. For example, I like the parallel made between Louis XIV and the
Qianlong.
Oui.
No, Qianlong is oui. A Qianlong. Yeah, it is.
Yes,
Louis
XIV
and Qianlong.
So you imagine that at the same time, in beginning of 18th century, there were two very powerful rulers.
And Qianlong.
One in China, one in France, and who had such a beautiful art. This is crazy, this parallel of vision.
And Qianlong, the early time of Qianlong, is China the height of the most cultural moment. But
I'm afraid, Pearl, that now you become a bit French because you speak about culture of all over the world.
I am international. I'm universal. Culture does not limit it to one country.
No, but the open mind without being shallow is very French.
I'm sorry. Because open mind is very Chinese
You know, I want to say something. You know the difference between, for example, I realize it, between American wine and French wine. The big difference is what we call in France long en bouche, which means that the taste stays long and there's an evolution of the taste of the wine in your mouth still. And when
this
you take
is French or American?
French. And when you take American wine, it's very good, but only one flush. And that's the difference. So probably, as my English is so clumsy, probably when I say shallow, it's inappropriate or a bit extreme. But what I want to say is that when the French wine is like the French interest for culture, it stays long in your brain and there's an evolution which drive to another idea and which feed your mind. That's what I want to say.
I love it. I love it using wine. I love it. This is very French.
Let's have a glass of wine.
Okay. Judith, so what is next? What's your next move?
You know, recently I curated a very successful show at Guggenheim Bilbao. I'm very proud of it.
Oh, I missed that show. So stupid.
Yeah, I'm not able to forgive you.
Oh.
So it was a dialogue, you know, because in my brain, in a way, there's no boundary. So there's no geographical boundary, but no time boundary too. So it was a dialogue between the drawing of Richard Serra, the very famous American sculptor, and Georges Seurat, who was a post-impressionist painter. And Georges Seurat created a type, very special type of drawing, which inspired all 20th century. So I was showing drawing from Georges Seurat, which belonged even to Jasper Johns, even to Matisse, even to Picasso, and even to Richard Serra, in front of Richard Serra drawings. And it was an extremely successful show, which attracted 500,000 visitors.
Wow, congratulations.
It was super exciting. So now I'm thinking about the next step. I think I will organize a very tiny show with a Chinese collection during Art Basel Hong Kong. I've just published a book about 10 extraordinary stories about when Paris was the epicenter of the art world. So 10 stories speaking.
Hey, it's coming back now, Paris being the epicenter.
Exactly, but you know, I'm telling a story about, for example, Louise Bourgeois, the famous American artist.
Who lived in
France, and before becoming an artist, she was an art dealer. So I'm telling stories like that, and of course I keep on with my platform, Judith Benamou Reports. I have 10,000 followers all over the world, and I'm telling all my stories from when I'm traveling, and now I'm preparing an article about how Impressionism is a 21st century movement. For example, the fact that Monet was painting at the end of his life like abstraction.
Yes, absolutely.
And the going back to nature, and the fact that there were some women important in the art, impressionist art, and things like that. So it's very interesting. I liked my adventure, and I would like new people to follow me.
Always new territory,
exactly.
Judith. So, of course, you have all those new readers following you.
I won't doubt. You know, I want to tell you a very funny story, not really in relation, but in Hong Kong, there's a place called New Territories.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
And so I had such a dream about this place because of the word, New Territories. I thought it was like a dream. And I went to see an artist there, and nothing special. It was just an industrial place. I just want to speak about this anecdote about the power of the words.
Yes.
New territories, it was magic. It was, do you know it was this artist, Firenze Lai?
No.
You don't know her?
No.
So she's a very talented Hong Kongese artist living formerly in new territories. I always want new territories.
Thank you, Judith. It's so nice for you to join me.
It was super. Merci, Pearl.
Thank
of
you.
Your generosity. Of your generosity.